it was just so neat to see because it was inspiring to see the faith of a young person just believe in God for something more, believing God for something great. And that just sparked something inside of me this week. And I went home that night and I just started, for whatever reason, I started Googling revivals again. I have not done that for years. In fact, those of you who have been in the church for any period of time, you know that revival almost became this term that we just almost didn't even like to say anymore, because sometimes we'd have these things that we called revival and they weren't revival at all. So we pitched a tent and we had a 20 nights worth of meetings. Did it impact our city? Did it change the face of the nation? Did it change? Was it like the Whitfields and the Wesleys and the Jonathan Edwards and the Brainerds and the Duncan Campbells and all these men of God through years of history? When they got on fire and they burned, it didn't just change them, but it changed their families, it changed their communities, and the communities became God conscious. And so much of the time, what we call revival isn't revival at all. I've been in a place lately where I've just had a kind of a holy dissatisfaction inside of my soul. Every time, it was kind of crazy, because this doesn't really happen to me. And you guys know I don't have a legalistic bone in my body, but I would try to sit down, and I told this to my wife, and I said, I don't know why this was even happening, but usually I could just sit down and watch a TV program, and I didn't want anything to do with it this week. I was just being pulled away to this place where I just wanted to talk. I wanted to think about great moves of God and revival and what was happening. And then I began to see that right what we're doing right now, the things that we're talking about, God is orchestrating this. He is setting us up for something great. He's setting us up to usher in something powerful. There's something God wants to send here. Friends, I don't know if you even realize what He wants to do. He doesn't want to just change our weeks. He doesn't want to just change us for a season. He wants to change the very face of what we live for. He wants us to finally come to a place where we've said, I've had enough of this world. I want the kingdom. I want you, God, whatever it's going to take, I want you. Aren't you tired of the headlines? Aren't you tired of another school shooting? Aren't you tired of all the emotional unrest with people? Aren't you tired of hearing about people overdosing on drugs and alcohol and all these other things? Because I can tell you with a hearty amen in my own heart, I'm tired of that. And I want to see God move in our streets and in our homes and in the crack houses and in the bars. I want to see these places shut down in Jesus' name, because there's nobody going there anymore. Isn't it time that we once again see our houses filled with the presence of the Lord? Isn't it time that once again that we actually pursued holiness, that we actually turned from sin, that we actually said, I'm not going to do this anymore, but I'm going to turn to you, God, because you're the way, the truth, and the life? We need Jesus. We don't need a program. We need Jesus. We've got all kinds of plans and strategies and everything. But friends, if it's not bathed in Jesus, what is it? It's just a plan and a strategy of man. We need Holy Spirit directed men and women and children of God that will go out and take the good news to the streets, to your neighbors, to the people in this community, wherever God would lead you. You need to let your light shine so that people will see the good work in you, and they won't glorify you, but they'll glorify the God that's coming through you. That's why we live for Jesus. You can't compartmentalize Jesus. You can't put him in a little cubby hole and hide him away just because you go to work. It's who you are. It's who you are. Jesus doesn't change just because you changed your location. He goes with you wherever you go. You go to the bars, he goes with you. You're looking at porn, he's with you. Do you realize that? And I realize that those are things that we don't like to talk about. But friends, those are issues that are going on right here with people in church. And it's time that we repent. We talked last week. I'm totally off script, so I hope I'm okay with you. We talked last week. And we saw, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the moving of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the gift of the Father to empower us to be men and women of God, to live holy lives for Him. In response to the love of God that He poured out on Calvary, we just had communion. We just remembered what He did for us and the sacrifice that we made, that He made. And because of that sacrifice, out of a response to that love, we pursue Him. We pursue godliness. Did you hear the scripture? It said that came forth in our worship time, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart." There's a level of responsibility that you and I each carry in this. It's not that we just accept Jesus and then all of a sudden we go live like hell all the time. Hell has an agenda, friends. It wants to take you down. It wants to take you with it. The enemy has an assignment for your life too. But I have some news for you. The enemy has been defeated. We need to start talking about revival again. We need to start talking about the presence of the Lord. We need to start looking at things differently and quit accepting all this dysfunction as normal. I challenged the guys in my office this morning. I said, "Guys, are we going to be men of God or are we just going to lay down? Are we going to stand up and fight?" A few nights ago, I went out and the Lord put there was a man of God who was once here. Years ago, over 30 years ago, about 6 months ago, the Lord put this person on my heart, this former pastor, that I would go and reach out to him. And I was just like, "Oh, Lord." I didn't know what all that meant. Well, the other night, I was with my wife, and we were just talking a little bit. I was, you know, I've been fidgeting all week. I couldn't even stay. It's just one of those things. I was just very irritated inside, and I just had to get out, and I went for a drive. I went up and got one of them little slushies up there. By the way, those are really good. I haven't had one yet. Very good. I had a wild cherry. I don't know if you like that flavor, but get a flavor you like. Anyway, so I had that thing, and I'm in my car, and then all of a sudden, this name came to me. And if I said his name, you'd know who it was. But I'm like, "Okay, Lord." And I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Go find him." Great, go find him. Well, I went and found him. And I pulled up. And, you know, I didn't know if I was going to get a shotgun at the door or what. But I pulled up in the lane, and I didn't see anybody around. And I'm looking around. There's a pool in the back. And all of a sudden, I see this little head pop up over the pool like this. And it was his wife. And I said, "Hey, you know, I'm Craig. I'm with Canton Assembly." And she's just looking at me like, "Who are you?" And I went up on that porch, and it was a divine appointment. Amen. He was up there on the porch. And I said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Craig from Canton Assembly." Actually, when I first talked to him, I said, "Hey, Pastor." And it shook him. He said, I haven't been called that in years. And we started talking. We started sharing about the kingdom. We started sharing about the love of Jesus. We started talking about reaching the lost souls and all these great things that we've been talking about. And I said, there's good things happening in the church. He said, praise God. And before I left, this is what I was getting at. I felt the Holy Spirit say, have him pray for you. And I said, Pastor, will you pray for me? And he, without hesitation, man, it was like this thing had been bottled up in him for years. He grabbed onto my hand, and man, I tell you what, I felt the power of God in that moment. And he just prayed over me. I felt the anointing getting stronger and stronger. But one of the things that he said to me was this. He said, when he prayed, he said, Lord, protect him. Protect the church. And he said, but don't just make them defensive. Make them offensive. You know, friends, the church has always been supposed to be a force. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. We were always meant to go into the darkness and take the light of Jesus to a dark world. And when he prayed that, there was something inside of me that said, yes! My spirit leaped inside and said, yes, that is it. That's the answer. You want to see revival come to a church? You want to see a move of God usher in like nothing you've ever seen? Then we have got to get out of the four walls of this church and into our communities and let the light of Jesus shine. You want to shut down a move of God? You want to shut down a move of God? Just turn it inward and make it all about you. Make worship about you. Make worship about the style of songs you like or the style of songs you don't like. I don't care what it is that's up here. If it's a Gaither song or if it's one of these New Elevation worship songs, I'll worship with all of it. We all have our preferences, friends. But what's the Holy Spirit doing in this moment? We need to be in tune with what Jesus is saying to us. And I believe what he is saying to us is that his desire is to bring the fire of revival upon his bride again. He is desiring for you and I to set ourselves apart unto him. Not so that we have to be cowering under this heavy, heavy thing from God. No, what we need to do though is to live right so that we can be reaching people for Jesus. Do we still realize, do we burn with an understanding that people are going to hell without Jesus in their lives? Or if we adopted some type of twisted universal doctrine that says everybody's coming in. Oh, everybody's coming in. Not everybody's going to make it, friends. But can you and I do our part? Can you and I maybe validate the message that we proclaim? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Father. I got to share some of these. This is so cool. Some of you have probably heard about some of these people. Evan Roberts, just a normal man of God. He was a blacksmith. He turned a preacher. It was 1904, I believe. Yep. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, he was still doing it back then. Jesus was. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, led the Welsh revival. George Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, Great Awakening 1, Great Awakening 2. Charles Parham, many of you might know him in the Assemblies of God. Topeka, Kansas was the first, if you trace back, even before Azusa Street. Azusa Street was birthed out of Topeka, Kansas. But he started a school, and he was a Methodist preacher, and he was teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody was calling him a quack. But the bottom line is he got endued with power, and he wanted to share that with other people. So he started a school, and ministers were coming from all over the country, one of which was William Seymour. William Seymour was a black man, and it was very segregated in those days, as we all know, and it still, unfortunately, is in even this day and age. But William Seymour couldn't even sit in the same classroom with his white brothers. They made him sit in the hallway. And you know what William Seymour did? He didn't get offended. He sat in the hallway and he listened and he absorbed everything that he could. Even though the door was just open a crack, he couldn't even see what was going on, but he heard and he listened. And William Seymour got a fire put in his belly through that. And he went out in to the Los Angeles area. He went to a church out there and they kicked him out initially because they thought he was a quack. He hadn't even been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. So then they found a Bible study or a group of some people that wanted to believe. He went to that Bible study, started preaching on the Holy Spirit, and right there on Bonnie Bray Street, you know what happened? The fire of God fell on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues, and there was great healings and miracles taking place. And you know what happened after that? There was all kinds of people that started coming. People that were walking by, they'd come up on the porch. In fact, the porch got so full of people, you know what happened? The porch collapsed. And praise God, nobody was hurt. And then they moved over into another place. It was a mission on Azusa Street. And this mission, the bottom portion of our mission, it's not like the missions today, but this one, they used to have carriages. What were carriages pulled by? Horses. What do horses have a lot of? Hey, yeah. How about on the other end? But you know, that's where the carriages were and the horses were and all that. You know where they met? Right there. There was 1,500 people that would pack into these meetings at one point in time. They were so hungry for God. They didn't care about the smell. They didn't care about the flies. They didn't care about it was an 8-foot ceiling and they didn't have fans and all this other stuff. They were so hungry for God that God came and poured out His Spirit upon them. Over and over and over. But you know one of the ones that just really spoke to me in 1949, Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell was the one who led the Hebrides revival. But get this, it didn't start with Duncan Campbell. It started with two older sisters. I want to get this right. It was Christine was one of them. And the other one, this is powerful, Peggy and Christine. Peggy was 84 years old. Christine was 82. Don't ever check out, people. Don't ever check out. Don't ever check out. Peggy was blind. Christine was doubled over with arthritis. But there's one thing that both of them were. They were relentless intercessors. You got to hear the scripture that they were praying. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah 44, verse 3. It says this. I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. These two ladies got that in their heart. And they said, Lord, pour out your spirit. Pour out water on the dry ground, Lord. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out over and over and over and over again. They were relentlessly pursuing God. They were relentlessly pursuing Him for not just for themselves, but for their entire region. And at the same time, there was a group of seven men. These seven men were meeting in a barn. And in this barn, they were crying out to God. They were being watchmen on the wall. And they were saying, God, we need more. We're hungry for more. Why they were in a barn, I don't know. But I tell you what, we need God to resurrect some barns today, don't we? We need God to fill some barns with some men who are willing to stand up and say, I love Jesus. And we'll contend for the more. And as a result of this, you know what ended up happening? God sent the fire. Duncan Campbell came in. He was the evangelist. And he was the one that, you know, you can go online. You can look, you can Google him. Google Duncan Campbell. Go on YouTube. You can hear some of his sermons. It's unbelievable, the stuff that they were talking about. And it'll convict you. I'm just telling you, be ready. It's good stuff. But the fire of God fell in such a way that they were in one meeting. This is just an awesome story. There was a dance. And the young people were at the dance. And I know all you young people are like, oh boy, he's going to come against dances. And that's not what I'm saying. But here's what happened. There was over 100 people at this dance. These young people were at this dance. They're having church service. Revival's breaking out. Spirit of God is falling down. And all of a sudden, there's an influx of these young people running into the church, running to the altars, falling on their face before God, saying, I need to get right with God. Well, what ended up happening is they were all over at the dance, gyrating and doing whatever they do at their dances, okay? Same thing. It's really no different today. It just is a little more, you know, whatever. But they're in the middle of the dance, and all of a sudden the fire of God falls at the dance. Such conviction comes on those people. You know what happens? They said, we got to get out of here. They get out of here and they don't know where to go. And the only place they knew to go was the church. So they go to the church. They see they're having meeting. And all of a sudden they run in and they fall on their face before God. And the fire of God fell. Woo! It fell. And they were broken, and it changed their lives. And then you want to know what else happened? Another night, they were walking, he got a call. Actually, he was, I don't know if it was him at the police station, but there was a chaplain or something at the police station. And all the bars started emptying out. The people started coming out into the streets. All these places of drinking and carousing and all this other stuff that was going on. And here they come. They come out of the bars, and they're just walking in the streets. They knew nowhere else to go. You know where they ended up? The police station. Gee, great place to be. But a minister came out. These people were repenting. They wanted to know how to get right with God. There was another meeting that they had. There was hundreds and hundreds of people that would come to these meetings. 75% of the people that came to the meeting got saved on the way to the meeting. So when they walked in the doors, they were ready. They were primed. They were thanking Jesus for everything. They didn't have to sit in church and get sponged and all this other stuff. What they did is they came in ready and they fell on their face before God and said, thank you, Jesus. Over and over and over again. The same night as the policemen that were there, there was a group of about a dozen young men that were kind of huddled over here in a corner. And they were just seeking God and praying. They didn't know what to do. And there was a grandmother. This guy was obviously drunk, and she just put her hands on her. On his name was Willie. And she said, Willie, are you ready to come home? Are you finally coming home to Jesus? And in that whole group of a dozen, there was 9 of those young men that got filled with the Holy Spirit, and 9 of those young men became ministers for the gospel. Do you see what can happen when a move of God takes place? I'm not talking a form of godliness denying the power. I'm talking about godliness embracing the power.